Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. As I was saying to some folks here at with this conference hall, you obviously very intentionally decided to be here, so we really appreciate that. I wish that we're looking forward to some time near the end to kind of hear what your stories are and what brought you here. But to kick things off, I'm going to tell you my story of why I am here and something about the work that I'm doing with this the Green Health Partnership that I lead between University of Virginia, my institution, and the U.S. Green Building Council and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And essentially, what I really want to talk to you about is, I mean, I assume you're here because you guys have bought in on the idea that place matters to health, correct? We're in. Okay, great. And that's actually kind of my point. That's actually what drives my current work, and I know it drives Doug's work, and actually you'll hear everybody here. And I think my suspicion is yours as well. There was a necessity, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, here at APHA, built environment and health conversations would be entirely about making the case, right? It would be about, is there an association between the environment and health, okay? And you could get, you know, that was important to do. We had to do that. We were asking the question, why, you know, how does, you know, does this matter? And what I'm arguing is, a couple of years back, I came to the conclusion as an action-oriented person, like many in public health, I was like, I think the answer is yes, you know? I think it does. So the built environment does impact health. So what do we do with that? Where do we go from there? How do we, what's the how? You know, and so forth. And so I'll tell you my story, and then turn it over, and we're going to go down the line, and you're going to hear that it's a similar story told in different ways. So basically, what's exciting to me, and I'm sure to all of you guys, my suspicion is each of you has a particular place in mind that you are working with day to day and really excited and committed to. You know, I've had the privilege, like Doug, through my role, to see a lot of communities across the U.S. in the last few years and around the world. And you start seeing these places, like, this is literally chosen somewhat at random, but you, Nashville, Tennessee is doing amazing things all over. They're really having, creating these incredible community engagement programs and ending up with, you know, public parks and so forth that are not just pretty to look at, but are a manifestation of really engaged community engagement process. They really have health at the center, and they have engaged designers in a very intentional way to make those things come to life. And as you'll hear, there were complex financial, you know, arrangements and deals that had to go together to make these things happen. So it's really cool. You can show these pictures of these amazing, beautiful places and get really excited. But the thing is, what I'm driven by is this statement, which actually my colleague from the U.S. Green Building Council, Chris Pike, he's been the vice president for research there for a long time and now has been working with me for several years. You know, he came up with this quote and while we were standing in his living room kind of hanging out one day, but it really stuck with me. Because it's important to remember, he's not a public health person by training. He's an environmental scientist. He's been working in the real estate industry for years, and he spontaneously came up with this quote, which is basically like, well, if I'm listening to what you're saying, Matt, it's great if we do one at a time here and there. But what you keep explaining to me is, to hit population-level impacts for healthy places to make a true impact on our nation's health, dozens, even hundreds of health-promoting projects are really not enough. We need thousands. Whoa, okay. You know, I was just getting my head around how to build one park in Nashville, Tennessee. How do we get to there? But that's literally what I decided. Well, I've got to try. I've got to figure out how to do this. So that's what I've been, and I know this is the way Doug thinks about this as well. So basically what I'm saying is we're still deeply engaged in the question of how do we create healthy places? Like, what does that mean? How do we actually get, what does that design look like and so forth? But what I'm arguing for is there's an equal and research need and practice need, and how do we promote healthy places? And what I mean by that, and I mean literally, and you'll hear it down the speakers today, like, how do you make these places actually come to be? How does the built environment come to be? How do you do this? And then what I'm trying to argue also is, how do we promote healthy places at a national and global scale? And that's different. And it doesn't necessarily fall within the standard skill set and mindset of public health. This is that, you know, we talk about partnering with other sectors, this is where that happens. But what I'm arguing today is the good news, right after challenging you in the morning, is that there are actually some amazing partners out there that know how to do scale, but don't necessarily know how to do the health part as well as we do. So that's what I'm here to talk about, and I know everybody else down the line is too. So essentially, my manifestation of addressing that question, how do we promote healthy places at a national and global scale, led me to what I do now, which is I have a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation over the last several years where I lead a partnership with the U.S. Green Building Council and other partners, and we call ourselves the Green Health Partnership. And I mentioned my friend Chris Pike. He's an amazing guy, vice president for research at U.S. Green Building Council, also the chief operating officer of the Green Real Estate Sustainability Benchmark, which looks at benchmarking the assets held by institutional-level investors in the real estate industry and helps them to benchmark themselves against each other. And then Kelly Warden in the back there, who is our project manager and basically is also, I'm very proud of her because she is a Master's of Public Health trained person that this work has been so successful that U.S. Green Building Council itself recognized they needed to actually have a public health person on staff. So I always say to Robert Wood Johnson, and I'm not joking, that she is our most important deliverable so far. So basically, how do we do this? So I'll unpack this statement a little bit. But basically what we are proposing is one way you can get to scale, because it's the way the real estate industry, one way that the real estate industry thinks about things, is that we can get to thousands of healthy places eventually and over, by applying the same green building principles of market transformation to promoting healthy places that over 20 years has given us the green building industry. Because 20 years ago, saying sustainable design and green felt just as kind of undefined, a little bit hard to understand, in fact, more so, I would say, than health. And so they invented this entire approach that is quite different than public health. It really took this idea of market transformation. How do you think about the market as a distribution and say, okay, there's like this tiny bleeding edge of innovators on the tail. If you think about it, a bell curve there. They are doing crazy, interesting stuff. How do we make more of the meat of the market take on those practices? And then as soon as the market catches up, we move the bar again. So we just keep pushing the market. And the way you do that is by offering very clear recognition. If somebody does something cool, you certify it and you make the market know about it so that their property is inherently more valuable. So our thought is that has worked incredibly well in green. It has now gotten to the point, where green is kind of standard practice in many ways. And we feel that there's an opportunity to do that again with health because the market is actually hungry for something new. Green has worked so well that it actually doesn't act very well as a differentiator for real estate anymore. It used to be a green property was enough as an architecture firm, as a developer, to say, yeah, look at my property, look at our firm, we're incredible. They want something new, and the good thing, the really exciting news, is that health and wellness have kind of naturally occurred as the next thing that the real estate industry is very excited about. So that has made it possible in many ways for our work to occur. So with we're going to hear some incredibly awesome and detailed stuff about metrics from the other speakers. I wanted to tell you guys, make sure you understand a story and make this a little more tangible, how I got, and then talk a little bit about what we're doing with the U.S. Green Building Council specifically. So my particular work in terms of, if you think about how are we going to use the Green Building Council's infrastructure, how does it work? It works through things like the LEED green building system that many of you are familiar with. If you've seen buildings are certified LEED gold, LEED platinum, or so forth. How does that work? Well, basically it all comes down to one project at a time where there was a, and basically the project team had a specific set of best practices defined for them that defined green. They knew how to put it into play, and they knew they would be recognized for it at the end. So I realized, if we're going to do this with health, we have to actually think about that project team, how these decisions actually get made. So I decided, well, I looked around and realized if I'm going to have to try to do this myself at a one project time, at scale to see how this might work. And I had this incredible opportunity to work with Buck, the Dillwyn in Dillwyn, Virginia, which is about an hour south of Charlottesville, with a really remarkable superintendent who decided they needed to renovate Buckingham Elementary School. And this is in a very rural, low-income, ethnically diverse county, and they had a world-class architect based in Charlottesville, VMDO Architects, working with them. And so we went through and said, well, how do we do it? They wanted to take on the issue of healthy eating in major renovation of this school. And basically what we did, we had our public health team with some funding from University of Virginia. We developed with the architects some very specific ideas. We came up with healthy eating design guidelines for school architecture, which you can actually, they're available in Preventing Chronic Disease, open source. And basically what that ended up allowing us to do, then we implemented it with VMDO. We came up with the idea of, like, how do we reimagine the dining room as a classroom? So if you think about the school as a platform for teaching and promoting healthy eating, you know, what would be the perfect school for promoting healthy eating in terms of the design of it? So we went through the entire cafeteria and thought about all the resources that would make it easier for people to teach about healthy eating, how to integrate very intentionally things like kitchen gardens and so forth. And I can go into it forever, but I would love for you to just, you can read about it if you find the article. But it includes things like not just placing water fountains everywhere, but literally branding the school around health messaging. Like, graphic design was thought about very intentionally throughout the entire school. Things like that. I think you'll really enjoy learning about it. We also did matching physical activity design guidelines for school architecture, which were just published in PLOS One, which you can also find. And similarly, you know, we went through every domain we could think of in the school, thinking about how does what we know in physical activity research dictate into a way that designers can actually use. And it manifests in things like, this is the main active design stairs in the middle of this school, which I have to reiterate is in the middle of a very low-income rural school in central Virginia. So, and it manifests all the way down to things like the furniture and so forth, which are very, these are intentionally designed stools that promote less sedentary time. So again, you can go to wemoveschoolsforward.com to learn more about the specific project. But again, I wanted to reiterate that we need to get to thousands of projects. And after basking in the success of this project, it was really exciting. But basically, we had the principal from VMDO who kind of was like, you know, that's great, but I need a business model. If we're going to keep doing this and we're going to scale this, real estate really needs a business model for health promoting design. And that's led to our partnership today. That working with his point was, you know, sustainable design allows us to drive innovation and do that as a day-to-day thing in our firm because we know we're going to get recognized for it, and it also drives a client conversation. And so LEED does that, and LEED is not the only system, but it does it by breaking down sustainability into these different domains and then helping the client and the design team to specifically target things. And I think you can see that it's not that far of a stretch to think about how we might do that for health. And just in the sake of time, I'll go through this quickly, but his point was basically like when they have schools, you know, they can do amazing things like these HVAC systems because they know they're going to be recognized for it. It gives them space and time to innovate. Things like this HVAC system where instead of just having it be a blank, you know, cool, high-up, you know, system, they created this special system that tells when the atmospheric conditions inside and out are correct for windows to be appropriately opened, a green light goes on. And so instead of just having them be motorized, the green light goes on and every kid in the school knows that they can jump up and open the windows. And then when it goes off, they have to close them. So it just engages them in green in a very literal way. And it's the kind of thing that they can do if they have the ability to charge for it and to get down to basics. So basically, it's a leader that drives innovation discussion with client. It provides a clear compliance pathway, and it offers predictable recognition. So my goal today was really to give you a brief overview of what we're doing and the motivation. So basically, with that idea of like a business model for how health can work in the real estate industry and how green building might offer that's what we're doing now in this Green Health Partnership. And so we were going through things like LEAD, and the first thing we had in thinking about how it might be used as a health promotion incentivizer and an organizer. And so one of the first things we did was just look at LEAD. How is health represented in LEAD right now? This shows the hard kind of detailed work. And my version of metrics is basically when you look at LEAD as it exists now, this is how health is, in terms of the terminology that's currently used in the real estate industry to look at health and well-being. And the whole point of this slide is it's all over the place, and it's not something that public health would recognize, so it makes it hard to engage. So that's one of the things, that was our kind of taking the temperature. When we looked at LEAD and the current systems, we found there's not a systematic approach for addressing health within green building certification systems, but there's a growing demand and they really want to do this. So that's basically where we are today is with our current project. We've definitely identified that this can be done. There's through things like the Buckingham Project, that's my version of it, but there's lots of those types of projects starting to happen. We've seen that there is huge demand to do it, but there's also these gaps in tools and metrics, which you'll hear in more detail from the other speakers. And so our contribution to this, what we're trying to do is, in the current phase of work, is to actually think through how do we, if it's going to take a while to get very specific credits going through LEAD, so like each domain that we might want to see, we thought that one of the best ways to get started was to develop what we're calling a health process credit for LEAD, which it's hard to get across. This is like core public health stuff, so it's hard to get across how kind of big this is. But essentially what we're trying to do is, and we are doing it, it will be submitted next month, and probably we expect available for preliminary use early next year, is the idea of basically translating the principles, and I'm careful to say the principles, of health impact assessment for use by project teams with a recognition that they can be recognized for it in the way that is valuable to them, things like LEAD certification. So we're into that work now. We have amazing partners. We're working with the Health Impact Project that many of you, I'm sure, know. We're working with Enterprise Green Community Partners, who has their own rating system for affordable housing, and we've already developed a credit for use within their system that's based off the same constructs. And then we have an amazing leading-edge design firm, Methune, based in Seattle and San Francisco, who have signed on to be early users of this pilot. And that, again, we're already working with them to identify some projects. And it's very exciting, and we're deeply engaged in it, and I'll be reporting back, probably, who knows, maybe next year at APHA. We're expecting to have some early pilot projects going. So that's basically it. As I said, I wanted to give you my story, to tell you, maybe to try to teach you again a little bit about one way that we might get to scale, partnering in a more deliberate way with groups like the green building industry. And then I will trust the rest of my colleagues here to give you some other manifestations of how that's happening. So thank you very much.